Welcome back to the Mawa Distinct Show. I'm Shirley Nordrum.
And I'm Sharon Nordrum.
And today we're visiting with Karen Goulet again. Now you've got a new project going on. We're sitting here in Bemidji at the new Watermark facility. And why don't you tell us what's going on here?
Well, there's the newly opened and renovated space is amazing. It's a labor of love that's been in the works for quite some time. I started working with the Watermark Art Center about a little over a year ago. And it was with this project in mind. They were going to be opening the Mekonon Gallery, which is a first in Bemidji. It's the first exhibition gallery that's dedicated to Native American art, and with an emphasis on our region, regional artists, but as well welcoming artists from other places in the work that we do. So the Mekonon, our Native American Advisory Committee, had been meeting since 2013 in regards to developing concepts and ideas about how the gallery would serve the community, serve our indigenous communities.
Since 2013 to come up with a space for us?
No, they knew they were going to make the space. What the development was the concept. What is the mission going to be? What is the vision going to be? What kind of things do we want to see happening in this space?
Okay.
So I feel like they dedicated a lot of their time and a lot of effort, and it was done mindfully.
Okay.
So that's the reason they took their time. The committee was made of both Native and non-Native people who had an interest in the arts in Bemidji and a commitment to having a space that would highlight and feature the work, beautiful work of our cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that was missing and they knew it was needed. So things take a lot of time, and the whole process, I mean, this idea that there's been a capital campaign that's almost done in terms of having the facilities built, and you have different contractors doing different things, and you have, it was really interesting because we talk about traditionally how our way of coming to agreements is done in a consensus process, and that was very much what this was, and that's why things took time. The whole thing was people had a lot of discussion. They would come back, and so because they knew this was going to be something that was going to be here for a very long time, they wanted it to have longevity, and they wanted it to serve in the best way possible, I think.
Okay.
So I had the good fortune of being able to work with a committee that had some ideas already in mind. I actually came to the first meeting. I was invited. They were working on refining the vision statement. And so I helped with that a little bit, and it was very exciting to me. So when they asked me if I would be interested, I'm like, yeah. And in part because of my own family history here. You know, my family was the first family to, Anishinaabe family, to buy a house in Bemidji, and that was an interesting process for them. When my mother is the oldest out of 10 kids, when they were growing up and going to school here, they had a cousin, and then my dad's family came down from the Northwest angle. There were pretty much, they were the native people that were were here. And so I came back a lot as a child, and this is like my home too. And they had moved off the Castlake Reservation, I think, when my mom was in fourth grade. I can't remember if it was second or fourth grade. So anyway, I have sort of this heartfelt commitment to this project because I think it's so important that we're here and seen and represented in meaningful ways and beautiful ways.
Yeah, in a nice light.
So who all was on the committee?
Well, it's changed over time. We have Mary Ringham, David White, Dempsey, and then we had Sandy Call, Lori Yord, Mary Jo Sorensen from White Earth, Elaine Fleming, Nailita Belgard, Renee Gourneau, Joe Allen. And again, it kind of changed as we came closer to this point. Laura from Region 2 was part of it, and then we realized that there was probably, she was part, there's sort of like the the advisory team, but then there was also a community base of people who wanted to be, they couldn't participate in that, but they wanted to know, they wanted to be kept apprised of the developments as they happened. So there is this sort of people who were, so some people kind of moved in and out of those two spaces.
Yeah, that's a good way to do that.
It is a really a nice,
People need to have the flexibility to come in and go and you know, maybe that's not my piece, but I'm going to fit in somewhere else. And allowing for that natural flow of involvement is, I don't know, I think it's probably very traditional.
Yeah, and we had, I think, and there were people who were interested in, like, the exhibition part of it. We're also trying to develop and establish some educational components. We want things to happen in conjunction with exhibits that community can participate in and get them in to look at the exhibit and do some learning. Like our next exhibit is going to be the Star Watchers exhibit, which is about Ojibwe and Dakota star knowledge, and there's opportunities for workshops through that. So we're looking at what kind of things can happen so that it's a space that people enjoy coming to and they get meaningful things out of it.
Right.
You know, and they get to see the amazing talent we have in our communities, you know, which we all know is there, and we have seen that, but it's so wonderful to see.
We know that, but other people don't know that.
I was just going to say, a lot of other people don't realize the talent that lies, you know, beneath that surface. They only see, you know, they only see certain things.
Yeah.
And bringing them here, you know, it's enlightening them. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that she could do that, or, you know, that he does that type of work.
And to celebrate and honor that talent, you know, and I think that I felt like that it's always an interesting intersection, and it's something that part of the desire and the process is about educating others about us and us defining who we are creatively and as people in a space that people can see things that perhaps they haven't seen before. But also, I think there's people that really want to see more, but they're not quite sure how to and where to go and where it's okay for them to be. And so I think all of that, this is sort of that crossroads. The Mekinon is, you know, is many paths. So yeah. That's got a lot of metaphors. It's got history too. That was one of the things we talked about, because the naming was quite a process too. We said, you know, we're naming the gallery, and and we're not just going to, like, you know, throw. We need to be recognizing our ancestors, because namings are always important. So, it was a 2 or 3 step process, and when that name came, that particular one, and we all just sort of stopped. I mean, that was the beauty of that moment. It was like, and it sounded right on our ears, and it had a good representation of what we wanted to do in the gallery space, but also this is a place of many paths from our reservations. You know, people have come to this location historically, so we're also remembering, you know, our history and the fact that, you know, we were here first and we have a place here. Yep. And we belong here. And
I wondered about the name, you know, how did you come to that name? Because names are so important. You know, you need that lots of thought put into them, and, you know, you need that one that's just, it's perfect. And it was a good name, but it was like, I wonder how they got to the process of doing that name.
Well, we did our traditional, you know, asking for guidance, you know, that we wanted to approach this in a good way, and we wanted the ancestors there kind of nudging if need be.
You know? Was there one particular namer? Did someone, who came up with that name?
Well, we were talking about what is this idea, and it's an interesting approach, because we didn't want an English name that we found the Ojibwe word for. We wanted the concept in to have an Ojibwe word that represented the concept that could be translated to an English name.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when you're talking with people who are not language speakers, even a lot of us who are native aren't fluent in our language. So it was a rather, we wanted to be accountable to that. So it was, we kind of had different names that sort of versions of it, but it was this combination of both. So it was, I don't know if any, one person, I think that Nailita, who teaches the language over there and is familiar, and she also took, like, we took those names back to people who were first speakers and talked to elders about that as well to make sure we were, you know, doing things right and we were approaching it right. So I think it was a very mindfully done, and that's why it worked, that accountability. And so it was fun, it was challenging, and it was just like, oh. So it's like,
that
well, it could
taken
be this.
A whole
it could be
year to just do that.
people were thinking about it for months before we came to that. So yeah, it kind of was in people's heads about what is this going to be. So yeah.
So how long are these exhibits up for? Like, we just walked through the gallery and saw a lot of beautiful art. So how long do people have to come and do and
well,
take a look at that before it changes?
Okay, the Ashaman is going to be on up and on display through the end of January, and then we'll have a little bit of a turnaround with bringing in our next exhibit. That one, I believe, is only going to be up for a month because it's on a traveling circuit, so we were restricted with our time. But the next one will be, they'll run 8 to 10 weeks, depending.
Okay,
and so we anticipate five, six shows a year. Each gallery, there are four gallery spaces in here, and they will all have their own timelines, although that's a typical timeline is, you know, 2, 8, 10 weeks, some in some occasions 3 months. The more permanent collection, that will last a little longer. So what that means is that people are going to have opportunity to see different work at different times. So maybe you'll come into a new exhibit, maybe this one is still here, but there's two new ones. So hopefully that we aren't going to, we are going to sit down and try to coordinate some exhibits we feel are significant, that if there's a way we can address the topic in both the Mikanon Gallery and in a larger gallery space, we want to try to do that. You know, because, say, particularly history kinds of exhibits or things like that. So it will vary, but there will be four exhibitions at any given time when you come in.
Well, that's good, because people need to come in and, you know, you don't want to miss an exhibit. So kind of maybe keep an eye on a website or something like that for new exhibits coming in. And then we're sitting in a space that's you called
the education room.
The education room.
Yes.
So what do you guys foresee happening in here?
Well, we're anticipating workshops. We want to do a lot of youth programming, and we want artists, say artists in residence, who are going to be teaching various kinds of skills, that we can have those in this space. We're looking at it as a possible place for art market opportunities. People can actually, I think we're going to be making the space available around our needs, to people can rent the space and use the space for purposes as well. So, and we've got the full, you know, we've got the screen for doing the projecting, and we have a sound system, and so there's opportunity for people to use the space. That's why we've got the big sinks in there with the idea in mind that we're going to get.
You've got a floor you can sweep if you're
right.
Carving or working with fibers and things like that. So,
right,
you know,
right.
It's a nice space for that. So definitely you want to keep your eye on a website to see what's going
right.
on
the
and what's
Watermark,
happening here.
The Watermark Art Center. You can. We have both a website, and there is a Facebook page for the Watermark Art Center. I'm going to talk with them. We don't have a Facebook page specifically for the Mikanon Gallery yet, and we're going to talk about that. But we do have on the Watermark Art Center, if you go to galleries and go to the Mikanon Gallery, it'll tell you what exhibit is current, how long it's running, and it will give you information about that exhibit.
Will it tell you about the artist reception?
The artist reception should be on there. I don't take care of that part of it, but we will be advertising that soon. We waited till after the grand opening so people wouldn't get confused. So we're in the process now.
But I just went.
Right, right. And so we wanted to have something really significant for this is an inaugural exhibit, and we wanted something that just that specifically celebrated the artists and the poets. There's also poetry in our exhibition catalog to celebrate this really significant historical event in our communities in Bemidji. So we decided we didn't want to compete with the holidays, and so we're going to do it on January 5th.
January 5th, mm-hmm. from and there'll 5 be a, to 7:30.
Yeah, and there'll be a poetry reading of the work that's in the catalog. Out there, look at the lake, it's going to be all glamorous.
The windows look out on Lake Bemidji. It's very, very nice space. And then you've got the catalog here. Mm-hmm. Is that something that people can purchase?
Yes, they can purchase it. It's $25. And all of our artists are receiving a catalog. So that's
so when you come through, you can buy the...
And learn more about... There's very specific information about the artists in the back. So you know where they're from and their tribal affiliation and a little bit about the... There's artist statements and artist bios in there.
Right.
So you get a better sense. Because there it really is. It was the exciting part for me was the response. It was really awesome to get the response that we did to the call to art. I felt like that was, you know, it made my heart feel good.
Yeah.
You know, and I was really glad that we were able to have this wonderful array of work, but array is the key operative. It's very eclectic, as you guys saw. But what I love about curating, and I do, that's one of my favorite things to do, and I, you know, I would wake up in the middle of the night arranging the pieces together, and I would say, oh, wait, this one needs to go over here. And so they start talking to each other, you know, and they belong, they know who they want their neighbors to be, I guess. And so there was very little that I changed once I laid the work out because I had thought about it so much, I guess, and woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Wait, no. So
I had those two bright colors together along with them.
Unlike me, who would have just put them up on the wall. There, got those up. Looks good.
I think that's lessons. I think I learned that a lot. There was another exhibition that really inspired me. It was actually it was a quilting exhibition. It was the artists of G's Bend, and they had both contemporary quilts and really, really old quilts. And how do these things, and the way they stated it was like, you know, they talk to each other, they know where they belong. And I said, you know, that was the perfect description to me of the process of putting work up in a space that's going to be, you know, sharing space for a little bit of time to have it really work well, I think.
It flows. The room flows.
It's
beautiful. You need to come in and see the new display, the new watermark. It's beautiful in here. I was like, I didn't think this place was ever going to get done. Driving past, it's like, yep, it's gutted. Yep, it's gutted. It's like, when are they going to finish that place?
Well, there's a lot of things that happen when you are remodeling in city space, and when you're doing a commercial building, and when you're doing... So there's a lot of different permits and different things that have to be organized. And although the building itself, what was pretty great is structurally when they, you know, took all the little rooms and walls out, there was not a huge amount of work of reconstruction, or there were no big, oh my gosh, you know.
The wall is going to fall down?
right. And so the bones of this building are really solid, and there's history in the bones. I mean, I think, I remember coming here when I was really little with my grandpa, and he'd go get the dented cans of food that were on sale, his hominy and his whatever.
Yeah.
so there's memory here, I think.
Yeah, I think it was one of the only grocery stores for quite a while. And then it was like, what, DMV or something?
No, wasn't it education for a while?
You know, I wasn't here during that. I mean, I wasn't paying attention during that time.
I think they had GED here for a while, and then it went to...
And then I think DNR was here for a while?
Yeah, the
DNR.
DMV was here for a while.
Yeah, so it does have quite the history.
Yeah. Now, you have a space out here on the side. Is that part of the Watermark too?
That
is that part
will
of the city?
No, that's part of the Watermark, and it's going to be a green space with the idea in mind that they'll be able to do some things in good weather. They're still in the discussion, is there going to be like permanent sculptural art that's out there? What kind of, you know, that I'm not sure where they're at in that decision making process yet. Mm-hmm. But it will be a nice green space.
So there's going to be some trees in downtown Bemidji? they cut a lot of them when they did the lakefront, so.
Oh.
You know, are you going to put some more trees out here?
You know, I'm trying to remember the last version I saw of this. I'm not sure. I know there's going to be a lot of grass, and I don't know what else at this point there. I think
I saw a
version with
a pollinator garden. You got to have a pollinator garden.
I'll ask them if they thought about that. Because I think we
own in a weeping willow tree, okay? You have to have a weeping willow.
Oh, I love willow trees. It's
me
just,
too. Yeah. You know, you can have a weeping willow and a pollinator garden and a bench. There, we're good.
Sounds like the way I curate. Looks good.
Oh, I forgot my bird feeder. All right.
Yeah,
couple of those.
Kind of amazed. I was looking at the book, and I saw this one photograph here, and I swear I have seen this building or this picture or this house, and so I went back and looked in the artist's bio, and they're not even from here, so I'm like, how do I have such a memory of this?
A sense of memory.
Of this place, even right down to the meter outside the house. That's kind of.
I know, because I noticed you keep going back to that picture.
I do. I have a memory.
Surely, how many times can you look at that picture and get the rest of the book?
I know something about this place.
Yeah.
I swear I do.
Well, I think that, and I think that's what's really interesting. People think, oh, photography, but you know, there's really a skill to capturing. I mean, it can be, okay, it's this building, it has these things, but it's the lighting in the moment when he saw it and when he stopped, and the feel that's there and that's present in artwork is so interesting. Like, it makes you connected and in interesting sorts of ways, I think.
I have a love of photography, and particularly just old school photography where your light has to be just right in it, you know, not the tweaking it. I mean, Photoshop has its gifts, and people can do amazing art with it, but I still have this love of just really old school traditional black and white, particularly black and white photography.
Right.
It's beautiful.
We had this discussion on a Facebook page. Artists Trying to Make a Living is the name of the page, and somebody said, is photography art? And I was like, well, that's a dumb question. Of course it is, but you know, like Shirley, I don't think Photoshop is necessarily art. I don't think if you take a picture, and I took a picture in black and white, and then I went in and I colored it in my own colors, I don't think that is really art. And so I stated that, and oh my gosh, did I ever get
schooled.
Yes. I got a backlashing, but I did have, there was like five people that liked what I said because they were old school photographers. And there's like, there is an art to doing this. Yeah, you can go in and add a sunrise, but there wasn't a sunrise there. I had to get up early to get my sunrise, you know?
I think they're definitely both art, but they're different categories of art.
I think it was really interesting when I was back and way back, when the dinosaurs roamed, I was in a class in my undergrad that was the artist in technoculture. And what they did was they selected artists who were in the newly advancing computer graphics art and design program, and then old school artists like myself, and mm-hmm. brought us together. And we, Evergreen works in a process where you're with a group of fellow students for two or three quarters. They're on a quarter system out there, and it's sort of this learning process where you build on. So like the second quarter builds on whatever your coursework was in the first quarter, and you'll have three or four faculty who have different areas of expertise that you're working with, and you get different credits for different things. But anyway, it was very, very interesting because I was not quick to adapt to the computer graphics. So we had to go in and learn each other's art styles. So it was really interesting to see people, like, I really struggled with when, if I couldn't be tactile and touch it and make it and shape it and, you know, work directly with it, it was more difficult for me. But there were artists who were used to the, who had grown up, they were, most of them were younger, that were totally about, you know, manipulation on computers, that did not care for the inks and having to clean brayers and brushes and things like that, and the whole hands-on process was not appealing to them. So so I guess I think art is a very subjective thing.
And I think it really is.
It is. It is, and what people determine is art to them is what matters, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, you know. I do too. Mm-hmm. You know, like Andreas is doing some computer art now, generating like movies through art, and all on the computer, and like how you can start with a blank screen and with the use of geometric figures create a human being or a dragon with such detail with blinking eyes and stuff. It's just like, that's
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's you can't deny that that's art. So I've seen a few mixed media pieces where it looked like there was art.
A combination of.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like you say, it's so subjective, but.
And I think people, definitely. Yeah, I think it's a very exploratory process. And I think that I'm always committed to art and the artist's voice and this debate of contemporary, traditional. I believe for our communities and our people that that's somewhat of a false narrative, because we have contemporary artists and traditional artists who know each other, they intersect, there are people who do both traditional work mm-hmm. and contemporary work, and they inform each other. You know, and I think that I've always, one of my goals with this exhibit was to show how they can be in the same space and be compatible.
And you've definitely shown that.
Yeah.
I think as human beings, we like to debate. What is this or what is that? And
you know, what's
when we're
life
passionate,
if we don't debate about it, you know?
When you're passionate about it, it just really comes rolling out. But, you know, you've done a really good job curating that space so that, you know, there is, it's all beautiful. When you walk in, you just go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the collection of all the pieces together, from traditional beadwork to wood burning to, you know, some really unique multimedia type pieces. It's just gorgeous. And it's so beautiful, such beautiful art. You got to come in and check it out, and don't miss an exhibit. I would say don't miss an exhibit, because if the first any example of what's to come, it's going to be exciting for the community.
Thank you. Yes, I think we're, you know, a high percentage of the exhibits will originate here, and they'll be around an art medium or mediums or a particular topic. I mean, I'm kind of getting a calendar set up, and I have the next couple of years almost filled in terms of the of what we'd like to do. Occasionally, like the one that's coming in next is a traveling exhibit, so it is, you know, it's already been done, but it's a wonderful exhibit. I had the opportunity to see it at All My Relations Gallery about a month ago, and it's going to be wonderful, and I'm excited to have that come and be here for a little bit shorter of a time, but it just shows, again, the expansiveness of what we're doing and our artists from our Dakota and Ojibwe communities in many locations have work in that exhibit. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really fun to do. I'm very excited, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what other things can develop.
Long time coming, I'd say, too.
Yeah, a very long time.
Very long time. I guess some things are worth waiting for, but really? Did we have to wait so long?
That was my point when I was like, took 4 years? That's a long time.
Well, actually the process of developing and getting the building happening was longer than that, and getting the space. I mean, it's a pretty big financial commitment, but again, I think that, you know, Lori was very, when she first became the executive director of the Watermark Art Center itself, she recognized very early on that she wasn't, because of the limited space, we were limited in how we could serve our Ojibwe communities and have their work more visible, because there was one gallery space, basically, mm-hmm. that had to be shared in a lot of different, you know, for a lot of different kinds of exhibitions. So one of the important, what do I want to say, driving factors was the need for the gallery we have now to exhibit. And I just want to recognize that. It is. It takes time to do stuff like that. And it also takes commitment.
Yeah, and I have to say hats off to the people that did that, because, like, you keep going back to 4 years, but I keep going back to hundreds of years that, you know, we're tremendous, natives are tremendous artists, and you're sitting here on a land where we were first in a community that has become known as being artsy, but yet there was no place for us. And so, you know, I really feel something in my heart for the people that sat down around the table and took the time to do it all right and to create the space.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because that is it. They wanted to be mindful. And it was not about, we're going to tell you what you need and what you should do. It's like, we want to hear what you want and what you know is needed here.
Yeah.
What do we need to see? What do we need to, you know, be able to provide to represent the communities as they should be represented? And that was part of why I said, I'm in, you know? And I told the story at the Grand Opening. I said, at one point with the committee, I said, okay, now, you know, we have this name and we're going to open this, but we really do need to bless the space. We should take care of that. And it's like, okay, you're right, we do need to take care of that. And so I went and I talked to Lori about it, and she's like, well, yeah, of course. And then she came back to me a couple of days later. She goes, well, would it be okay if you blessed the whole building? And that's when I knew I was in it for the long haul. Yeah. You know, I mean, I just was like, that touched my heart, because it was like, well, would it be okay if you know, we could bless the entire building? Because, and so having our singers there for the grand opening and all of that is, I feel like, sincere respect and recognition for this new step that will, I mean, all of these steps can move towards shifting and changing things that need to shift and change in this community. And I think part of us being more visible and present is part of that process that needs to happen.
Sorry I missed the celebration of that, but I didn't miss the feeling when I walked into the building, because there was something here that felt really at peace. And so, and I don't think it's just the lake, because the lake can do that to you.
Because
I'm walking physically into a building, which I don't often feel like, oh, this is a nice space. This is a safe, kind of hallowed ground. I don't know how else to say that. And I don't know how to say that in Ojibwe, but that's what it felt like. This is a special place.
So that, I felt the same thing. I felt like I was walking into my home.
Yeah.
Making me cry. A little bit.
Crying over here. You can't see it, but she's crying.
Tears dripping down the floor.
I'm not that crying.
Her Timbits are getting soaked.
Well, I'm just really appreciative that you guys came to, you know, came to check this out and to see the space, because it really, like I said, I'm really grateful. I'm grateful to the community that I have, to being able to do the work that I get to do right now. And I just want people to know there's more to come. There's a lot more
awesome.
To come.
Come to the
artist reception if you can.
But it's also open
for the rest of the month as well. So, and we have
what
operational
are the hours of the Watermark.
Like Minds Think Alike. We are open 7 days a week. I believe it's 10 to 5. Monday through Friday, Saturday. Might have to go look at the door. I want to say it opens a little bit later, and Sunday is 11 to 4, I believe.
That's great. So even on Sunday, when it's hard to find anything to do in Bemidji, on this side of town, the old side of town, you can go to the Watermark.
Right. That was part of the commitment, was to be open 7 days a week, or at least open on the weekends. There may come a time where we know that there's going to be weekend hours. If we close a day a week, it'll be, you know, maybe a Monday or something like that. But right now we're open 7 days a week, and that's our intended schedule for the time being.
That's awesome.
So how does this place work? Just in curious, is there volunteer opportunities here?
There are volunteer opportunities. You can get on a volunteer list. There's membership opportunities. I'm not honestly don't know what that is to join the Watermark Art Center, but I have an artist registry that people can sign up for. That okay. If they're interested in particularly what's going on with the Mekonon Gallery and they'd like to be made aware of those things, I send out all emails to everybody who's on that list when we have up and coming things. Like I'll be putting out now that we just got those just were printed up, so I'll be getting those out to our artists in the artist registry, but also sending out an email to let them know of what's going on. We have different events and activities. One of the things we have is a fiber arts festival in February that we oversee. There's different
things. I love that. Oh my gosh. It's coming up.
So, but there's different things that we get involved with. Watermark has overseen the Art in the Park event. There's different, but we're also looking at developing things for the Mekonon Gallery as well. So please feel free to send an email. The online registry is real simple. And it's like, are you an artist? Are you a supporter of the arts? Are you both? And then then we know who you are and we can send out information.
Encourage people to do that because, you know, volunteering is a way to feel like you're even more part of it. You're not just coming in looking, you know, if you need help, I'm there. And it's just, it feels good.
It connects you more with your community that you belong to.
Yeah.
So
check out the volunteer opportunities for sure.
Awesome. Yes. And like I said, as soon as we hit the floor running on this because of, you know, it's like we opened December 2nd. So, but we, you know, like I said, we've got a sort of a game plan in place and we're working on those different things. And once we get to the other side of the holidays, we might breathe just half a minute and think
awesome.
About, yeah. So anyway, thank
awesome.
You ladies
thank
very
you
much.
Thank you so much. Miigwech.
Miigwech.
This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.